Pittsburgh, I love ya. This is Brian Edward, and you're listening to Berg Vivant, Pittsburgh's cultural talk magazine, delivered digitally, straight up, shaken, and stirred. Tonight's broadcast brought to you by our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Zafalo's Banquet and Event Center, Carnegie, Pennsylvania, one of the most beautiful and unique venues in the greater Pittsburgh area for weddings, corporate dinners, fundraisers, and more. Visit clubzafalo.com. Off the Wall Theater, enlivening, educating, and entertaining audiences in the Pittsburgh region. View their current season at insideoffthewall.com. Arcade Comedy Theater, hosting local and national comedians, sketch comedy, improv, and more. 811 Liberty Avenue, downtown. Be sure to like them on Facebook or find them at arcadecomedytheater.com. Berg Vivant is a proud supporter of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. You can learn more and show your support at fireflyarts.org. Marina Carr, welcome to Pittsburgh.
Thank you.
Is it good to be here?
It's fantastic. My first time.
And you know, for those who might just be joining us, you're not from around here.
I'm not from Pittsburgh. I'm from County Offaly.
And you have been named Ireland's premier female playwright.
That's correct.
Now, on a daily basis, how do you cope with that honor that has been placed upon your shoulders?
Well, I wish they cut out the female part.
You know, I was going to ask you that because I was thinking about it this morning and I thought, you know, if a Pittsburgh paper said, you know, named Brian Edward the premier male talk show host in Pittsburgh, I'd be thrilled. But then after the parties and things, I'd say, well, maybe they could have just said premier talk show host. But I mean, I think the deeper question that, you know, I wanted to ask you about this, do you feel that it is important to distinguish the female voice in relation to playwriting?
God, do I? I don't know how to answer that. I think when you write, you write. I'm stuck on that one. I kind of see red, I see all sorts of colors when this conversation begins, because it's almost impossible to articulate how deep-seated all of these things are. And we're having a cocktail. So let's not get too polemical.
Sounds good. Yeah. But, you know, we will lobby for them to drop the female portion of it.
I really appreciate
Ireland's
that.
Ireland's premier playwright.
Right to them all.
Well, you're in good company over there, you know, historically.
I certainly am.
And that's, you know, I think part of PICT's mission is to look at classic theater, not just from Ireland now, but around the world. So we've seen a lot of great performances there. So. And you've worked with this Alan Stanford fella in the past, isn't that right?
I haven't actually worked with Alan ever before.
Oh, really?
We've known each other at home.
I knew there was some connection.
Down the years. And I've always wanted to work with him, and this is just my first opportunity. I'm having an absolute ball here.
Good.
In the city, working with the actors, meeting all these great people. It's a revelation to me. I mean, I spent some time in Philadelphia, but I've never been in Pittsburgh. It's a beautiful city.
Well, thank you. We're thrilled to have you. Have you gotten out to see much yet?
A little bit. I've been to your gallery. I've been to the art museum, and I saw the dinosaurs. And I saw the stones, the diamonds. I want those diamonds.
Oh, the gem. I think the Hillman Hall of Gems. I would love to have a party in that room.
So would I.
You know,
glitter.
The lighting is top. It's very theatrical.
It's absolutely beautiful.
And you know, I always try to see if I can, you know, maybe take a few home with me. You know, some new. Little rhinestone
very
on here.
Covetous in there. Also, the selection of paintings, your collection in that museum is incredible.
The Carnegie, I maintain a membership there because I can't get through the whole thing in a day.
No,
so I'll go in and maybe just see little bits and pieces. But I think that it's one of the greatest dinosaur bone collections in the world, too. Mm-hmm. The Tyrannosaurus over there is one of the most complete. So maybe you'll find some inspiration in some of these things you see in Pittsburgh.
I saw the water lilies yesterday.
Oh, yeah, they are in bloom.
But But the immensity of it. I hadn't realised. No,
the painting, you mean, the actual, yes.
Yeah, I hadn't realised the scale. Because you're looking at reproductions the whole time in art books.
Right, and that's what everybody says about Mona Lisa, too. They're always impressed how small it is. Yeah. Well, Pittsburgh here, we do everything big, you know?
Yeah. So that's... Well, that was a revelation for me. And the Van Goghs, some of the early Van Goghs were just stunning. So I want to try and get back there before I leave.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
We only have you for a short time, but I hope they're taking you out to some nice restaurants while you're here.
They are. I was in, is it Casbah?
Yes. Oh, they are taking you to some nice restaurants. I can vouch for that.
Yeah. Alan took me for dinner there the first night. It was gorgeous.
Yeah. What cuisine do you
prefer? I love fish.
Yeah? Yeah? Oh, we've got a lot of good seafood places here, too. The fish market downtown.
Okay.
And I'm sure Casbah had a lot of nice selections for you there,
fish
too.
Fish the whole way, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't think we get them from this river, though, but that's okay.
That's okay.
Yeah, all the three rivers, and I don't know if anybody's...
from Norway or
right. But you are very well-traveled.
I get around a bit. Mm-hmm. People keep inviting me places, which is
fantastic. Oh, what a shame, yeah.
It's been wonderful. So any opportunity. You know.
And I should think that if Ireland is naming you the premier
female
playwright... Well, playwright or female. But no, here's how I do the math. Yeah. You know, Ireland is one country of about 195 in the world. So this would certainly put you, I mean, and not to diminish the fine drama of Luxembourg or anything, but this would certainly put you as one of the top playwrights in the world.
Well, the competition is ferocious, shall we say. It's a nation of writers. Everyone's a writer. So you won't top anyone at home. They can always do it better.
Mm.
And I think that kind of ups the bar for everyone. And having such wonderful work to, I suppose, back of you, to lean on and take from, it is an enormous help.
Do you get along with other playwrights?
Very well.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah. They're great.
I like to picture it sort of like a Mensa club or an Algonquin club. You all get together and wax philosophical.
Well,
I don't know if it's like that.
It's not like that, but I do have very good relationships with my colleagues. And I value that because, you know, you talk about details.
Mm.
And so you're talking about someone who knows it from the inside out. And sometimes they can teach you a lot. They
can
point out things to you.
What is your opinion on some of our modern American playwrights?
Your modern American playwrights, okay. Susan Laurie Parks, yes. Tennessee Williams, one of my great, I just adore his work. O'Neill I like to a lesser extent. Miller, I like some of Miller. Lorraine Hansberry. God, there's a whole slew of them now. I'm going to leave out names.
It's competitive here too.
It is huge here. It's huge, and there's so much of it. I don't see enough of what's happening in New York, unfortunately. Something I would like to do more. But yeah, it is, you know, it's there, it's been done.
Do you find it a challenge to describe your own style as a playwright?
Yeah, nightmare.
Yeah.
Absolute nightmare.
Well, see, that's why I didn't flat out ask you that. Yeah. I wanted to say, well,
thank you.
It isn't a challenge.
I haven't a clue. I just write it down. Other people decide what it's about. I think that's...
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. I think it's, you know, it's tough to take such broad ideas and put them into a little description. You know, a lot of times what's seen on the stage is what you take away from it.
Absolutely. And I think, you know... Describe, you put something there, 100 people see it, each of them will have a different idea of what they saw.
Are there common themes, though, that continue in your work?
Yeah, love and death.
Mm?
The old ones, the old story. There's only the one
and
story.
And why not?
Only
and why
the
not?
Yeah.
And from what I know of your play that will be performed here at Picked Classic Theater, Woman and Scarecrow, it is... quite a bit about death, but not to be confused with a very dark piece. There is humor to it.
There's a lot of humor. It's essentially, yes, there is death, but it's essentially a play about love and about living and just the struggle. The struggle to survive. Life is easy at the start. It gets with accretion, with time, it gets a little more difficult to get through those days, and you end up carrying your life on your back, really. You know, there's a phrase at home, or they, you know, the old ladies would say that, you know, our Lord always fits the cross to the back, from the old Catholics. And there is a sense of that, I think, as one ages, as one lives, what one has to carry, both what one has achieved and what one has not. So there's huge joy in that, but there's also huge regret. And I think the play is trying to deal with some of that.
That's beautiful. I'm almost moved just listening to that.
Good.
So I'm sold.
That
was poetic.
Cheers.
Yes, cheers to that. Yeah, I can clink. So we are looking very much forward to seeing it. I actually am familiar with quite a few of the actors that'll be in this. Have you gotten to see it in rehearsal yet?
Yeah, I've been here for the a lot of the rehearsals, and we had our dress rehearsal last night. Mm-hmm. And we had some students in from some of the local
Wonderful.
And they were just so with it. And these are kids. I was so proud of them, and, you know, for engaging and being with it, and so pleased myself.
Oh, good.
To see that it is making the connection.
What generally is your internal experience in watching one of your plays performed?
It depends on the play.
Oh.
And it depends how long the play has been around. If it's a new play, it's terrifying.
Mm.
Because nobody knows what a new play is. I think very often, least of all the writer. So you almost need an audience to tell you what it is you're doing. If the play has been around a while, it has been interpreted, it has received feedback, it has been judged.
Mm.
So there's a little less fear involved, and there's a little more enjoyment. And with this one, because it's a play I wrote 9 years ago, it's been around the block a few times, and I just take great joy in watching all the different interpretations when I am invited to places to witness that. And I also love being around theatre folk. I just think they're the most interesting people in the whole world. I'm sorry, actors are just what they have to do.
They can't help it.
So to be in a room with them, it's so inspiring. And to be around, you know, wonderful director and design team and all of that. It's meat and salt.
Mm-hmm. And as I said, you've got a great cast in this production. I've worked with Sharon Brady before. She and I were in a production of Mother Courage years ago. She is
She's
a doll.
Wonderful.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing her on stage. Karen Baum, also, who just came off a production of Noises Off at the Pittsburgh Public. So this is a little bit of a change of pace from that role. Little known fact about Karen Baum. Did you know she is an excellent baker?
No, I didn't.
Oh, she is.
Wow.
You have not lived until you've had a Karen Baum cake.
Okay.
And now she's probably home watching this saying, dang it, I got to make one for Marina now. But no, she is an exquisite baker. I don't know if she still does, but I remember back in the day, she could make a cake.
She doesn't look like a baker.
But she is, and that's what's great. See, this is the enigma of the actor.
Are you a baker?
I am not at all.
No.
In fact, that is probably something that I am like the least talented at. I like to cook. Entrees and things, but when it comes to sugar and flour and eggs, I have no idea. So I really appreciate
Betty Crockett is great.
You know, I've heard of her. Yeah. She's got a reputation, much better than mine anyway.
When my kids want a baking day, I just get Betty Crockett.
So Betty Crocker's made it to Ireland then, right?
Crocker or Crockett? I can't remember.
Oh, Crocker.
Were you putting the egg in the water?
Oh, that's Betty Crocker. You know, it might have gotten more complicated or less since then. I don't know. But Betty Crocker, those are her two ingredients.
Delicious.
Yeah. She does a nice job.
Sorry, Karen.
But not to be, not to be outdone by Karen Baum.
No.
We have
Nikki, of course.
Oh, yes. Now, she I've not met. I'm looking forward to meeting her.
She is incredible. She blew me away at the dress rehearsal last night. She's just astonishing. Power of what she's doing and the detailed interpretation of the lines. it's quite extraordinary to watch. I can't wait to see her tonight.
And Mr. Fitzgerald, who I just met recently.
Fitzgerald, another beautiful actor.
Just did Waiting for Godot here, yeah. Also directed by Alan Stanford.
Yeah.
So this is a great, great cast in the show. And you know, in addition to being excellent in the kitchen, Karen Baum, of course, is amazing on stage.
She's
and
incredible.
I am really looking forward to seeing her performance in this.
Well, this is my first time working with her, but just what I've seen the last few days, she's incredible. And the two, Nikki and Karen together, what they are getting out of the play, what they're, the way they're mining it, their approach to it is so intelligent. It's so emotionally true. It's revealing things to me that I didn't even know were in the play.
What a reward at this point, after having, you know, been having a relationship with this play for, I believe, 9 years. Is that what you had said?
Yeah.
That it's you're still getting things out of it. That's a wonderful, wonderful experience.
It is. And I'll go home now. I'll write something else, because I suppose one of the things you don't think about is, once you write a thing, you tend to forget it until you're forced to revisit it in a way. And it does bring, it does call up the themes that are in you, or the things that concern you. So I think I'll go home now, and this will give me courage.
Very good.
Yeah.
So what is your approach to maybe starting a new play? At what point do you sit down and say, all right, I'm going to begin?
I have to do this, and I have to get, I leave it until I can't avoid it anymore. I'll do anything except write. And then I...
you made a pretty good success for avoiding writing.
And then it'll build and build. I mean, my head's going to blow off and my heart's going to blow open unless I put pen to paper. You get to the point you're ashamed to show your face on 3 pages of fool's cap of something. So that would be the first thing. This is. The other thing is there'll be things swilling around the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll be cooking away. And then eventually it'll come out. And then sometimes you're dragging. But at its best, as Harold Pinter said, you're chasing it by the tail. You don't know what's happening from one line to the next. And that's when it's at its most exhilarating.
It's a great adventure.
It is a great adventure.
And what are some of the plays that you'll be sharing with us during the readings here at PICT?
At the reading, I'll be reading from By the Bog of Cats, which is a play I wrote based on Medea. I'll also be reading from a play called Marble, which is about love. And I'll be reading from a play I wrote about Anton Pavlovich Chekhov called 16 Possible Glimpses. And a couple of other things.
A couple other little
couple
things.
Of other things.
In there. But that's a great variety. I mean, that's an evening of theater there.
I'm looking forward to it. I love reading for my work.
Oh, good. We will love hearing it. So thank you for sharing that with us.
Thank
Absolutely.
You.
And we should mention, too, we're on set right now.
We are
this
on
is,
set.
This is the boudoir of woman in Woman and Scarecrow.
It is. This is it.
And, you know, not knowing, you know, exactly what takes place in the play, I'm a little nervous. I don't know what's going to pop out of there.
We don't know what's in the world.
Yeah. So a little hint of drama in this production.
Yeah.
I apologize. I keep wanting to say Scarecrow and Mrs. King. This was an old show in the 80s here in America. There was a television show called Scarecrow and Mrs. King. So I keep stopping myself. It was an 80s drama with Bruce Boxleitner. And like,
was it good?
You know, I don't remember it that well. It ran for maybe 6 or 7 years, so I guess it was okay. And he was a secret agent named Scarecrow, and this has absolutely nothing to do with your play.
No. Did Wurzel Gummidge ever make it this side of the Atlantic?
I haven't heard of it,
That used to be a show I loved as a kid.
Yeah.
It was about this. He was kind of a scarecrow figure, and his name was Wurzel Gummidge. Mm. I just thought it was a great name.
And the scarecrow figure in this play is very interesting. What can we say about that figure without maybe revealing too much?
People ask me all the time, who is Scarecrow? Because the title of the play is Woman and Scarecrow.
Mm.
And that was the first thing that came to me about the play, was the title.
Mm.
So, how would you define Scarecrow? I suppose she is that voice we carry within us all the time. Those 150 voices that we live with, that are great company and that carry you through your life. The voice that questions you, the voice that loves you, the voice that hates you, the voice that argues with you, your voice of regret, your voice of compassion, your voice of cruelty. She's sort of all of those things, and yet that doesn't define her either. But that's the closest I can get. She's whatever you want her to be, but she's integral to woman.
And we're looking forward to seeing that relationship on stage.
Yeah.
Now, you may have observed that here on the show, we do like a good cocktail every now and then.
You do a great cocktail.
So in honor of your visit here, not only to our country, but to Pittsburgh, and in honor of Woman and Scarecrow performing at PICT, we have commissioned a signature martini just for you. And this show. And it's appropriate too, because I did read that Pittsburgh has more bars per capita than any other city in America.
More than Ireland?
In America.
Oh, in America. Okay.
Now, I'm not even going to try to compete okay. with Ireland. Yeah. But I would like to present this to you. We call this the Woman and Scarecrow.
Okay.
And it's a little bit of a take on the Bloody Mary. And as you can see, the garnish is a scarecrow.
It's a scarecrow.
You know? But, you know, not as spicy as a Bloody Mary would be, but just gardeny fresh. It's vegetable juice with tomato, fresh muddled basil, a hint of lime, and potato vodka.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Now, is it an unfavorable stereotype to associate potatoes with Ireland?
No, not at all.
Yeah,
I'm obsessed with potatoes.
I don't get offended when people, you know, say corn and America or corn syrup for that matter.
Well, our cuisine has changed a little bit. Mm. It used to be that, you know, unless you had potatoes every day, you didn't have your dinner.
Right.
You weren't fed, so potatoes were...
But we have a potato vodka that's distilled locally, Boyd and Blair.
Yeah.
So we've decided on that as the ingredient for the Woman and Scarecrow. And we'll be doing a little follow-up video with how to make one of these and celebrate the opening of your play.
Do I get to taste it?
Oh, of course, of course. Now, mind the scarecrow.
I'll mind scarecrow.
There you go.
Tastes of... eternity.
Ah, a taste of eternity. That's the signature that we're going to put on that.
You have to patent that.
I think so.
And
I think so.
I should get 10%. What do you think?
I'll make sure of that. You know, that might not amount to much, but I mean, the postage to send it over to you is probably going to be more.
You never know.
Right, but you can get creative with how you make your scarecrow. You know, as dark or as light as you please. So, yes, we encourage everybody, of course, to see the show and enjoy a Woman and Scarecrow on their own at their bar of choice. So, yes, welcome, welcome, welcome. We're so thrilled that you're here. And hopefully we can see you again. We may even see you at the show, because PICT has you very busy while you're here. There are quite a few engagements with you.
Yeah.
You're going to be doing a few readings for us, I believe.
When am I doing this? Sunday? Sunday at 5. Is it Sunday at 5? Sunday at 7.
And we'll have all the info attached to this. You know,
okay.
I didn't want to put you on the spot with that. But the point being that, we have a lot of chances to get to know you while you're here and your work. And I think it's phenomenal.
Well, thank you.
So we wish you all the best on your opening and on future plays to come. Thanks for chatting with us.
Thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome. In closing, we would like to once again thank our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Off the Wall Theater, Cefalo's Banquet and Events Center, Carnegie, Pennsylvania, Arcade Comedy Theater, Downtown, and Bergvavant is a proud supporter of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. Find out more and show your support at fireflyarts.org. And be sure to follow Pittsburgh's Cultural Talk magazine online. You can find Bergvavant, the It in Pittsburgh, on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribe for free at www.bergvavant.com. This is Brian Edwards saying cheers and good night.